Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
12-year-old Lee Spencer is in the back seat of his family's car as it's pulling up the driveway of the house they are moving into. Lee notices a young girl looking at him from the upstairs window. No one else in the car sees her. This is the beginning of a 4-year journey of Lee Spencer's unbelievable events that happened in and outside of that house. Spencer's Ghosts, available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, any place you get your books. Available in paperback and ebook.
This is Dr. Shelley Kerr, PastLifeLady.com, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
I'm your host, Al Cooley, host of Ghosts in the Valley podcast. And today I have Joe DeHoyos on the show. I was on his show a couple of days ago. Had such a great time. You know, he's coming on my show. And so coming from Houston, Texas, Joe DeHoyos, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, man. I do appreciate it. I appreciate you doing my show. It was a great time. We had a great conversation. And I really appreciate you having me on yours. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to another couple of your episodes on Beyond the Woodline. I really love that podcast, man. It's like, I know you're into the cryptids and Bigfoot, and I think it goes beyond that. I want to get into that, you know. Let's go back. When you was a little dude, did you ever think in your wild imaginations you'd have a fascination with Bigfoot?
I always had a fascination with it. Did I ever think I'd be doing a show? And, you know, I've been doing it for, I guess, 4 years now. No, I didn't. But as a little kid, I was maybe 6 or 7, my earliest memories were seeing the Patterson-Gimlin footage, you know, and I think it was on In Search Of. I remember even my father was like, hey, look, check this out. You know, anytime he knew that this show was coming out, or anything about Bigfoot was going to be coming on the TV, he would, you know, call us to come check it out. And there was three of us, three kids, but I was the one that probably took the, you know, the most interest in that kind of stuff. And so I made sure to watch it with him. You know, he really liked that subject, the subject of Bigfoot, and of course Loch Ness Monster and stuff like that too. But he loved the subject of Bigfoot. And we had a neighbor across the street from us, and he actually worked with my dad for many, many, many years. And we're still good friends with that family to this day. The father, his name was Andy. He had so many stories of Bigfoot and ghosts and UFOs and just all kind of strange stuff. And where he got these stories, I don't know. because you're talking back in the mid to late 70s and even early 80s, And he would tell us these stories all the time. It really like scared me and my brother. But I was just so fascinated by it. And, you know, I got old enough to cut grass and earn money for myself. And with that money, that's what I would do. I would go buy books on these strange subjects, you know? So, it was from early on.
I mean, you're a little bit younger than me, but what TV shows were like on TV that like mine was like The Outer Limits and then when they had that radio that they used to play it in school for us. I was just a little guy, War of the Worlds, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, that's, I think, man, from a little dude, you know, sometimes your early influences like that can lead you into your fascination.
My dad was a big fan of the Twilight Zone, of course. The Outer Limits, I didn't discover that until a little bit later. When I realized, holy cow, there's like another show similar to this, right? But yeah, he was a big fan of the Twilight Zone. So we'd watch that too. And of course, anytime that there was a show, like I said, like in search of, and maybe Unsolved Mysteries did an episode or two on strange stuff like that. I don't remember, but there was, I know like a couple of other shows that did, that had like a special on Bigfoot or whatever. And so we'd make sure my dad made sure that we watched that. I remember being outside and my dad was like, hey, there's a show coming on. They got Bigfoot, man. I'd stop whatever I was doing and go inside and watch it, you know? Yeah. All that strange stuff really just fascinated me. But it was really Bigfoot that got me into everything, you know? It was the gateway drug for everything.
Yeah. And were you born and raised in Texas?
Yeah, I was born and raised here in Houston, and I lived outside of San Antonio for a little bit, but I moved back here to Houston. But
because I've been doing some research on Texas and got quite a few Bigfoot sightings out there. Same as here in Ohio. You know, a lot of people think it's just Montana and some of those Midwestern states. You know, but really, even our neighbors here in Pennsylvania. It's everywhere. So you think that AI can hurt that field? It's hard enough to as you would know, investigating Bigfoot and some stories I know you have coming up, you know, with AI generating, even my field of ghosts and spirits, it's hard enough to get people to maybe listen to a story that's true, and then when you have these idiots out there putting stuff on there that's not true, it just clouds up the field. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Bigfoot. You know, you see some of these AI generated things on YouTube or wherever you go to, and it kind of distorts the facts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I think AI has been a really detriment to the field. I think it's hurt a lot more reputations than anything, because there are some pictures and even video out there that is clearly AI generated, and people will absolutely believe it and push it and, you know, die on that hill that it's real, you know. And it's not just one or two people. You look at some of these videos, there's thousands of people that absolutely believe it, you know, that it's real, and it's like, it's not real, you know,
because it looks so real.
AI has only gotten better, and it's only going to get even extremely better, right? Yeah, but I think AI has hurt the field, and it's bad enough that we have hoaxers and or people just presenting things that aren't real, you know, the blob squatches, the shadows, the dark, you know, figures, the overly blown up pixelated pictures. And, you know, it's bad enough we have that. Now you add the super clarity of AI, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you an investigator? Do you have your own team or?
I'm part of a team. It's called the JRG, which stands for the Jevning Research Group. It's headed up and founded by William Jevning. I'm his right-hand man, basically. He's been in the field for 50-plus years, and we have teams all over the country. And, we do a lot of data collection and stuff like that. We do a lot of investigating sightings and reports and of that nature. So, we don't just research, but we also investigate, yeah.
Is that just mainly on Bigfoot, or is it outside, like ghosts or spirits or hauntings?
It's primarily Bigfoot. We do get, you know, take in dogman sightings, and but primarily Bigfoot, you know, like I said, dogman's a second place, and nothing more than that. You know, if someone comes up with another cryptid, whether it be a lake monster or chupacabra or whatever, we have other people that we can, you know, refer them to. We don't really do all that, you know. But I personally will go look for it, you know, or investigate it or research it, you know, because I love that stuff. But
yeah,
you know, as a team, we don't really do all that other all the other cryptids.
You know, I like to go maybe this year a couple spots here in Ohio. I like to go to just check it out. You know, I've never been on a Bigfoot research or really looked into it, you know. I mean, I have stories on the show all the time, you know, with Togman and Bigfoot and other cryptids, you know. But and it seems here, I mean, what's coming here to me from around the area and then outside the area is Dogman. Man, it seems like Dogman's on the rise, especially in the Virginia, West Virginia area. Seems to be a lot of stories coming to me from Dogman. And then also the 411 cases with Dogman and Bigfoot. We're at in Texas. Any certain area that's more eventful than others?
So as far as Bigfoot goes, definitely East Texas. So like I'm in Houston, and actually like it's kind of on the border of East Texas and Central Texas, or some people call it the Gulf Coast, right? Depending on what map you look at. But Houston is right on that border of East Texas. Anything just east of Texas, and even just a little bit north of Texas, is where I do my research in the San Houston Forest mostly. All that area, all the way up to Arkansas and then into Louisiana, is like all Bigfoot territory. And we're actually like one of the top states for Bigfoot stuff. As far as Dogman goes, there's an area called the Hill Country, and that's basically between Austin and San Antonio. That whole, it's very hilly, very rocky. It's sparsely populated. That whole area is known as the Dogman area. There's even one famous sighting that goes back to the 1800s, mid to the late 1800s. It's called the Converse Werewolf. Like I said, I lived out of San Antonio for a couple of years. And when I lived out there, I saw a guy that I used to work with. He always wore like a Bigfoot shirt. For the first couple of weeks, I would notice that while I was working with him. And finally, I just asked him. He was a younger guy. He was in his early 20s. And I said, hey, man, what's up with your Bigfoot shirts? You're always wearing Bigfoot shirts. He's like, oh, man, me and my dad, we love Bigfoot. And we do all this stuff. And we, you know, they don't know where to go. He's like, we don't know where to go, but we'd like to go look for it. And he told me a couple of stories that his old boss had. And then he told me that there was a creature called the Converse Werewolf. And I lived actually right next to Converse. I lived in this place called Universal City. The neighboring town was called Converse. And there's a thing called the Converse Werewolf where this farmer has sent his son out to go, you know, hunting early in the morning. And he came back. It was like, Dad, there's a monster out there. And he's like, there's no such thing as monsters. Go back out there, you know, and hunt, you know. Well, his son never comes back. So the farmer gathers up a few of his friends and they go looking for his son. And when they get out there, they describe what was a werewolf-looking creature bent down over his son, eating at the body. And they all took shots at it, but they said it was moving so fast they couldn't hit it. Yeah, and this is called the Converse Werewolf for anybody who wants to look up that story.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm always learning new shit on this show. I got new stuff coming to me. Not the first time I heard Converse Werewolf, so yeah. I wrote that down while you're talking so I could.
Okay, yeah. And the guy that was telling me that story, that they told him that story when he was in elementary school. Yeah, you know, so it's been around for a while.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Because I was just looking over here, my notes. I had a one that came into me last week. It was out of El Paso in the mountains. They were run out of their cave they were camping in.
They thought
it was a bear. So they had their guns and stuff, you know, on them.
Was this by TW?
I don't know.
Look up the name of the person when you get a chance. If it's TW, I actually know TW because he was out in El Paso and he thought it was a bear also. So I wonder if it's the same story, but yeah.
I wonder. El Paso
is a pretty popular place for Dogman and Bigfoot. Actually.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You know, I've been there. But yeah. I've never, I wouldn't think about that, you know, in the mountains, you know, but I guess so, you know.
Yeah. A person can't track, I mean, they can track an animal, but they're not going to keep up with an animal over that kind of terrain.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, that was just kind of strange because I knew you're from Houston, Texas, and I didn't hear too many stories.
I'm willing to bet that was TW's story.
Yeah, I'm gonna look at that soon they get off this show.
Yeah, and I'm actually.
That's on my notes here in front of me. I know it's upstairs. Yeah. So,
yeah, I'm actually really good friends with TW, and he lives out in that area, and he has another good story. If you want me to tell this,
sure.
So he lives up in the El Paso, New Mexico area. Mm-hmm. he had a gentleman contact him. This was, man, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. The guy said that he was out watering his lawn, and he lived out in the middle of nowhere, or watering his garden, actually. A small Bigfoot, maybe like a juvenile, came out and was staring at him while he was watering. So it scared him, so he sprayed it with the hose, right? He sprayed it, and it took off running. I don't know, 3, 4, 5, I don't remember, 6 months later maybe. He wakes up in the middle of the night to this stench in his room, and he looks up, and there's a big Bigfoot standing over his bed, and the Bigfoot attacks him. And in the middle of the fight, it wasn't much of a fight, but his finger gets bitten off. But he also gets, like, ribs broken, scratched up, just pulverized really bad. He gets to the hospital. He actually calls TW and says, hey, this happened to me. And TW shows up, and there are people there that they don't want to let him talk to the patient. But he winds up telling them who he is and what he does, and they let him in. I think TW has said this before, but he's in law enforcement. We'll just say that. So he shows his credentials, and they let him in and talk to the patient. And he tells them what happens. He tells them the story. The guy gets released. The guy winds up moving, you know.
Yeah.
We think that he got placed somewhere else, you know. But yeah, that's a very interesting story.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Bigfoot yourself? I mean,
not full sightings. I would, you know, I can't say for sure, but I definitely have seen figures. We've seen red eye shine, seen flashes of fur. I've seen that twice. You know, the one was like a reddish orange, almost like an orangutan, maybe a little bit brighter. Then the other time it was a dark brown, like a dark pine color. I saw two legs. Yeah.
And when you see stuff like that, that just leads you more into, you know, wanting to go out there and investigate more and get more.
Yeah, afterwards, because at the time, I'm not going to lie, it definitely was pretty scary, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, especially when I saw the two legs. That these legs were, you know, were huge. I mean, they were almost as big down at the ankle as they were at the thighs, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I told you on your show, I can't remember if you or somebody else, but my friends were hunting in Alaska and came across a little baby Bigfoot. And when Mama Bigfoot came out of the trees, and that probably about seven of them hunting, they're on this little resort, deserted island off the coast of Alaska, and they're there for a couple weeks. Two of them, they know for sure they hit him. They shot Bigfoot. They shot the Mama Bigfoot. You know, one shot him once in the shoulder, where he flew back, the one shoulder, and the other one shot him twice in the same shoulder, where he flew back again. And it was snowing, so there's snow on the ground, so you think there would be blood and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But when he went after the little one and the big one ran back into the woods, only thing they had there was the broken branches from where he was saying it was probably 8 to 9 feet tall.
Wow.
Estimating, you know, it was huge. And when they went back into the woods, it broke off some tree branches and stuff, but there was never any blood trail. But they followed the feet trail and to almost a quarter mile to a stream, and then it just disappeared. There was no more. So they're assuming it ran down the stream. But and this is coming from somebody who doesn't believe. So, right. You know, for him to tell me that story, you know, and then say that they hit it, you know, they shot it, because he thought that, because there's two people sleeping in a tent near that location, so they thought it's going to come in there and attack them. That's why they shot the for defense, as he put it, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hit the little one, you know. So it was like, yeah, I never heard a story about baby Bigfoot, you know.
Right.
I always hear about the big one, or you get that stench, like you were talking earlier, there was a smell. And he said it smelled like sulfur.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I guess a really bad rotten egg sulfur type of smell. It was really bad. Mm-hmm. And the odor was there for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that sometimes they probably produce that, you know, whether it's a fear reaction or a intimidation reaction, you know, but I don't think that they always emit that, or I don't think they always think, period, because there's a lot of sightings where people are like, I didn't smell anything, you know.
Right. Did you smell anything when you, like, say, would see
that? There was one time that we did. We went down this old road, and it was a pretty popular area for sightings, and it smelled like a like a primate exhibit. You know, that's exactly what it smelled like. That's all. Like, have you ever been to a primate exhibit and you smelled that, just that nasty smell? I mean, that's what it smelled like. You know, my friend that I was with, I was like, dude, do you smell that? And he's like, yeah, I smelled it. He goes, we're turning around. So we went down this road a little bit because it was a very narrow road. We found a little place we could turn around. He's like, dude, we're getting out of here. We're getting out. It was dark. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And he turns around and we get to that spot again and you can smell it again until we passed it up.
I don't know, man. I think I smelled that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I you hear that also, you know, yeah, you either got the smell or you didn't smell anything. Like some of these 411 cases, you know, and you hear about the Bigfoot attacking, you know, a lot of times they, like you said, bit off a finger or something.
Yeah.
You know, so you hear about that, but a lot of cases you hear about them helping, you know.
You know, and I think they'll do that too. But there's, you know, instances all over the world of other animals helping out people, so I don't think that they're unique to that situation. You know, I mean, there was even in Africa, there was a lion that helped out a little girl that was being kidnapped, you know, by people, right? You know, I mean, dolphins have been known to help people. They've also been known to attack people.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that they're just, you know, like any other animal, they're capable of harm. They're capable of being helpful. When they want to be.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yeah, you would think that with all these sightings of people who have come in contact with Dogman or Mothman, I mean, you think of all these sightings, I mean, that literally thousands. But they've never captured it.
Mm-hmm. Well, supposedly they never captured it. But, you know,
that we know of, you mean?
Yeah. You know, we've certainly have heard, being in the Bigfoot field, we've heard stories of people who have taken some of these things down or put them down, and then helicopters show up and, you know, stuff like that. You know, yeah, there's quite a few stories of that, actually. A friend of mine here in Texas, they came across what can only be, in my opinion, a dog man. And it's a very famous story. He's told it before. His name is Jacob. And they pulled up alongside of this dogman that looked like it had been hit by maybe like an 18-wheeler or something. And they were in I don't remember if it was an F-150 or F-250, but it was an extended cab with a long bed. And that sucker was as long as a truck. And he describes it, you know, the hind legs, you know, being short, and the front legs or arms being longer, had these extremely long teeth that they all came to a point. Blood was coming out of its mouth. It was still flowing out of his mouth, so they didn't know whether or not it was alive or dead. And they were like, hey, let's get it and put it in the back of the truck. And he told his boss, man, I'm not moving that damn thing, because what if it's not dead, you know? And he says, you know what, let's go do this job, because they were like in construction or some kind of stuff, or remodeling, I don't remember. And he said, well, he goes, let's go do this job, we'll come back, and if it's here, we'll load it up. He said, okay. So they went. They did their job and they came back and the creature was gone. And not only was it gone, but even the blood was, you know, was gone.
Yeah, you hear about that. I mean, especially even the UFO crashes. Mm-hmm. You hear about it all the time, you know, when authorities are brought in and all of a sudden it's the story drops right there.
Right. Yeah.
So where are they taken? I'm gonna say neither say the spacecraft or an alien or Bigfoot. I mean, where are they taken? So if they were there, you know, and you've had witnesses, more than one. I went to one in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, on a UFO crash app in 1965. And talking to some of these people that are still alive, that were just little at that time, and their stories, what they remember. And keep in mind, these people don't know each other, right?
Right.
But the stories are all about the same. So like you say, a flatbed truck comes in, you know, they see him loaded on the truck, and next thing you know, it's gone. You know, and you call authorities, so that you have to contact so-and-so department. It's like a runaround. You got to contact. And the bottom line is you'll never know.
There are so many of these stories, too, where people have come out and talked about their experience. And these people that don't even identify themselves, but other than they're from the government, right? And they'll tell you that what you saw is a bear. That's what you saw.
Right.
So if it's just a bear, why are all these military people coming over here for a bear? You know, why are you coming to my place of employment? Why are you coming to my house to tell me that what I saw was a bear? You know,
Yeah, and I think on the last show you showed me a casting of of Bigfoot.
Yeah,
and I never seen a bear with a foot that big. I mean,
yeah, 16-inch print. Yeah,
you're right. I mean, that's gotta be one huge mammoth.
Yeah, that's gotta be huge.
Prehistoric sucker.
Yeah, you know, well, a good friend of mine, he's kind of gotten out of the Bigfoot field, so I don't really want to say his name, but he's here in Texas with me, and he's, like I said, he's a real good friend of mine, and I met him about 5 years ago. He contacted Will, and Will's like, I got a guy in your area. So he gave him my phone number, and he called me up, and we had a conversation, and he told me about his story, and he told me that the one that he saw was 9.5 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's kind of big. But, you know, people get scared. Their adrenaline gets going. But he is a former Marine. He was in recon. And I said, well, you know, we'll go out to the area and we'll see if we can find any kind of mark. And he told me that there was like a white patch on the tree, which is like a fungus. So I said, okay. So we went to that tree. We measured it to where you said the head was at. And it was 9.5 feet tall. It was almost perfect. And I was like, holy cow. I said, what you saw was a big boy. He goes, yeah, he was big. He was big. He called Will. And before his story even came out, when he called Will, he got a phone call. And they told him that he needed to shut the bleep up. You know, I'll bleep myself, right? And they told him that he needed to shut, you know, the bleep up.
Mm-hmm.
So when he called me, the next day he got a phone call again. And he said that they told him the same thing. They said, hey, you were a Marine, right? And he goes, yeah. He said, well, you should know that when someone tells you to shut the bleep up, you should shut the bleep up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, I've been told that. I've been told that myself on this show.
Right.
I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, when I was doing some UFO cases right here in my area, right. We have an air base right here in the area. So I went to the military base because that's where the things are spotted. I mean, and I was basically told the same thing, mm-hmm. You know, back off.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things they don't want you to know. So, yeah.
And it's like I said, if it's nothing, why are people telling you this? And to me, they just kind of validate that you're onto something by calling mm-hmm. you and telling you, because now there's almost no doubt what happened.
Yeah. Why shut the bleep up? I mean, if you're going to say that, I mean, why do you want to, why can't I talk?
Yeah.
What are you hiding?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, right?
It's almost better not to even contact you, really, because, you know.
Right. It's like, you know, some of these UFO things in the, you know, they, it just makes me laugh, you know, because some of the cover-ups are funnier than, they just act like you're stupid or something. Like, you know, it's a flock of birds. It's swamp gas. You know, I think a lot of people are more intelligent than that. And especially when you got, like, say this right in our area, like when over 30 calls came in one night, are all these people seeing swamp gas? I mean,
right.
So, yeah, when you're trying to cover something up like that, you know, I kind of agree with that, you know, where did that object go? Where did Bigfoot disappear to? That, like you said, you've seen, say, you see some the legs. Some people have spotted patches of fur. The sample you showed me at the casting. Mm-hmm. I mean, what something made that print?
Right.
It just didn't disappear there. I mean.
Yeah, and there was actually five prints of that one that I showed you. There was 5 footprints. That was just the one I showed you was step number 3. Yeah, and they were all like 6.5 feet apart. You know.
So I mean, you couldn't track it any further than that. Then.
Yeah, it went through a creek and ended up to a tall grassy area.
Talking earlier about Virginia, that was called the Cumberland Gap. I don't know if you ever heard that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of stories. I've got 3 so far. Coming out of that area, and all 3 are on dogmen, and almost the same size, 8 foot.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not small. They're not small. Same thing. You have the witnesses. You have people spotting it. In some cases, taking photos of it. You know, and there you go again. You know, some of the stuff on your post on they have found that were fake. You know, that kind of right. That kind of muddies water for a lot of the true investigator that's out there really. That have evidence under their belt, like the castings, like you have another parts of the body or evidence.
Yeah. And you know, it's unfortunate because I think there's probably a lot of people that actually see these creatures and have tried to take pictures of them, you know, but were too far out or just too dense of forest, you know, to really make anything out. And I think those photos, you know, exist. You just can't see it, but it really muddies the water even more when you have people that just absolutely take pictures of shadows or stumps or something like that and try to pass it off as Bigfoot, whether knowingly or unknowingly, you know.
I think I came across a podcast I was watching you on. I think you had made it mentioned you weren't so much a believer in saying Bigfoot was extraterrestrial.
No. I think that it's a terrestrial being. I think it's a natural animal like anything else. You know, I don't think that they're jumping through portals or that they're cloaking or that they're interdimensional or that they turn into rocks or stones or trees. They're just or turn into orbs. There's just so many of these things out there. Either like it's all of them or it's none of them. And if it's all of them, it's one heck of a Marvel character, if you ask me, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I get so many of these stories on here. So, I mean, everybody to their own. Yeah. I had some Bigfoot investigators from Minnesota on my show before. Hmm. He was kind of tying in Bigfoot with extraterrestrial because every time you've seen a Bigfoot in their area, there was a UFO spotted nearby, near a body of water. And I love to get other people's perspectives on that, you know, because like anything else, you got your own view.
And I think to make a correlation between the two is really not fair because, I mean, we as people see UFOs too. Does that mean we're extraterrestrial? You know, I can mm-hmm. see a UFO over the city of Houston and there's been plenty seen here. What does that mean that we're extraterrestrial, or people have been to the forest and have seen the UFO and, oh my God, a fox shows up. Does that mean that fox is from the other planet, you know? I think it's all just coincidental, you know.
Yeah, that's like my buddy that shot that their his friend shot the Bigfoot. You know, he even brought that up. He says, "I'm not going to rule it out," you know, because he says anything that big. Then his other buddy said, also said, "Well, it's like any other animal. Like if you shoot a bear, you're not going to get that blood right. I mean, they're got thin, thick skin. Sometimes it don't even penetrate their
I've known so many hunters who have shot deer and couldn't find a blood trail.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right. So I could go with almost any animal.
Yeah. Or the blood trail just stops.
Or human.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you can see people on different sites get shot and they just go down and there's no blood. Or you can see someone get shot and they go down and blood just pools all over the place, you know.
Right.
Not to be graphic, but that's just the way it happens sometimes.
Take myself, man. I had plantar fasciitis for a long time on my foot, you know. And when I was still working and I stepped on a nail at work and a nail was probably five inches long. I went up in the bottom of my foot through my work boot. Yeah. And my coworker actually pulled the nail out of my foot. Right.
Yeah.
And I took the sock off. There's no blood.
Yeah.
There was just a little puncture and then my planters went away. You know, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
So they said, you know, my foot doctor said, well, I wouldn't recommend stepping on nails, you know, but. I mean, I don't have any blood, you know, but, it's just little things like that. Yeah. And I said, you know, he said, yeah, well, we shot it three times. It was high power guns and all three of them were ex-military. You know, I don't know, man. I love the paranormal because it's so fascinating to me, you know, and you hear all these stories on, do you think it's extraterrestrial? Do you think it's some type
natural
of ape creature that's still here? I mean,
yeah.
Like the not Loch Ness monster, you know. I mean, how can we say it don't exist when people have actually seen it over 100 times?
Yeah, and there's still sightings to this day, actually. So
yeah.
I talked to a young lady on my show. Her dad was like the original guy who started. I can't remember what it's called. I mean, it was like the Nessie Project or the Nessie Group back in like 1969. He started it. It kind of went away for a while, but she kind of brought it back up. You know, she started it all over again. And there's actually like a guy that lives out there in a van, always trying to spot it, you know, taking reports too. And yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
All right. What would you think you would do if you ever came in contact with Bigfoot? I mean, one-on-one right there in front of you.
I don't know because the closest we've ever experienced anything like that was maybe 2 years ago, maybe three. I have to look at my records. Me and my friend, again, that we went to his area. I call it his area where he saw that 9.5-foot one. Mm-hmm. Just one night we went out there. We got out of the truck. And I remember I was so mad at him because he parked so close to the trees on my side, you know. And, I mean, I opened a door and their trees were littered right there. So when I opened the door, I heard this movement, like something It sounded like someone had a truck or a car and was pushing it through the forest, you know. So whatever it was big. I just froze almost immediately, and I looked over because he was getting out of on his side, and he heard it too. And his eyes got that, you know, so big, and my eyes were like saucers also. And closed the door to the truck. We walk around to the bed of the truck, and when we get there, we're kind of like whispering and pointing, you know, I heard this over here, I heard this over there. And then we started hearing movement again in the forest. And this was from the direction where he had his sighting. And there's like this little trail that goes down to the creek. He's like, I want to go down to the creek. And I said, no, I said, stay right here. Because right away, it kind of set off that little red flag for me, was that whatever it was, wasn't running, right? And there was at least two different whatever it was at this time, because there was two different locations that we heard this noise. He's like, no, I want to go down there. I want to go down there. And I said, well, dude, I said, stay where I can see you, because I was going to walk down the road a little bit further down the road. I didn't want to get into the woods at this point. And so he's like, okay. So he had his flashlight on and I had mine on. We heard something going through the trees, like something was thrown, right? So when we heard that, at the same time, I heard this big thud coming from behind us. And it sounded like you were getting like a big basketball sized rock and slammed it on the ground. That's what it sounded like. It didn't strike me until later, but like if you had thrown something, you would have heard it hit and then it like tumbling or rolling, you know, but it was just one thud. So when I turned that way and I'm looking down that road, I didn't see anything. Oh, so right before we heard whatever it was go through the trees and I heard that thud, we both heard this like, it was the weirdest like tongue clicking sound. Mm-hmm. When we heard that, we looked at each other again and our eyes were like super big. And then that's when we heard something go through the trees and I heard the thud on the street. He didn't hear it because he was a little bit further out, but I was still on as I say, street. It's this old dirt road. That's when we heard that. And he continued to walk down to the creek. And I started going down, down the road. And there's like a little bridge there. It's nothing big or fancy. It's just a small bridge, just big enough to go over this creek. But it's got the culvert. And I don't know how big that culvert is, maybe 6-7 feet in diameter, you know. I started going down to the creek because I heard splashing. And when I heard the splashing in the water, I said, let me go down this creek and see what's up. But I heard it go under the culvert, right? And when I heard it going under the culvert, I automatically snapped that, you know, my buddy's on the other side. And I looked up and I was going to say, hey, it's going your way. And before I could even open my mouth, he's coming back up the bank onto the road. He's like, nope. He goes, I hear him down there. He goes, we got to go. They sound like they're panicked. So I said, okay. So we got in the truck and we left. And that was we were out there maybe 3 minutes, you know? So what scared us is the fact that whatever it was, didn't run. And we had heard noise from several locations at this point now. Any other animal would have taken off running, because we've been out there when there's deer, fox, even hogs will bolt, you know? Mm-hmm. These things, whatever it was, didn't run. And as we were leaving, I'm looking for something in the middle of the road, and there was nothing there, because that's, like I said, I remember hearing that thud, and there was nothing there. But I'll be honest with you, I was like really, really scared. And I'm like thinking, okay, this is the night I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it tonight, you know? And I don't know how I would have reacted, because I was like, I mean, my head was on a swivel. That flashlight was going all over the place. I'm looking everywhere. I'm hearing noises. And, you know, my buddy was like, dude, he goes, they sounded like that. He goes, I can't really explain it, but it just sounded panicked in the way that they were splashing around down there and moving around down there. And that kind of, you know, threw me off, because it's like, when something is scared, it's going to be dangerous, you know, and they're either going to get on the offensive, which isn't a good deal, or get defensive, which isn't a good deal either. So,
all right.
You know, so I was like, no, yeah, we need to get out of here. So that's what
happened. Like any NW corner, they're going to get aggressive. I mean, any animal.
And, you know, but why didn't it run was really kind of scary when you think about it, you know. And we had time over the next, you know, week, 2 weeks to like really, really replay everything. And that tongue popping, that tongue clicking that we heard, you know, we seem to think now that it was like a sign, like, okay, go, you know. And that's when something was thrown, something hit the road. It was like a distraction, you know, we felt, you know.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I remember my sister saying, you know, when I was doing a going to a haunted house or something, she would say, do a protection prayer before you go in, one before you get out, you know. And a lot of people I've talked to on a show do that. They use some type of ritual they do, or a medicine bag they take with them, or something for protection, you know. And I remember one time my priest in the church told me that you got a plan when you go in. Like, that's why I ask you that. You know, what do you think you'd do if you came in contact with it? Because you know in your head what you want to do, or even talk to him or say something. You have all this stuff right going on. But like my priest said, you know, you're always prepared what's coming in front of you, but you're never prepared what's coming on the side. It's usually what you're not prepared for. When you go in looking for these things, you have any type of code words?
Not really. So at that time, I wasn't into my faith like I am now. But I anytime I did anything like a paranormal investigation, I used to do like a little protection thing, like, you know, to Saint Michael or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anytime I did that stuff, nothing happened. You know, nothing would happen. So I kind of backed off on that. And I wouldn't say anything until like I left the investigation, because I kind of felt that by doing that first would kind of hinder any kind of evidence I would get, you know. So I didn't do that until I left an investigation, you know, and it was primarily with paranormal stuff, you know, spirits or ghosts or any kind of haunted location, you know, just because I wanted to experience stuff, you know, and I felt that if I did it beforehand, like my team, they would group together and I would stay outside the group, you know, and I would let them do it if they wanted to do it, but you know. Yeah, I just felt like I was overprotected at that point. Yeah.
So was it your team that found made that casting of that Bigfoot?
No. That was a different team. That was my friend Shane Church from Southern Bigfoot Alliance. You know.
Okay.
They found that print in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. So have you come across any like footprints like that?
I actually found like a 3-inch print myself in a creek in the San Ysidro Forest during snake season. You know, why would anyone let their kids run around in the creek barefooted beyond me, you know? But it was a boxy, it was a boxy print. It wasn't like a print that you would think a kid that size would make, you know? And I found an 8-inch print, and it was kind of the same way, you know, like, why would you let your kids run around the forest? You know, it was in that same creek, but a little further down. I found prints like that.
Yeah. There's so much, I mean, you know, like Bigfoot's called Sasquatch, or I've heard Wood Booger.
Yeah, but there's several names all over the world, you know.
I love that they get these names pop up. Yeah. Yowie, yeah, so many, you know, and even the Native Americans had different names for.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I always say too is like, there's this misconception that Bigfoot is this big, peaceful, loving, hairy brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of these translations of Native Americans mean literally like wood devil or devil or cannibal or evil god, you know. Those aren't very flattering words if you ask me.
Well, yeah, there are certain words they don't even want to repeat, you don't want to say, you know. Yeah. Like Wendigo.
Yeah, so I don't know if you can see that.
I do see it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and that was an 8-inch print that I found. That was in 2019. Mm-hmm. It was in the creek, in the middle of a creek, and like I said, maybe 3 years earlier is when I found that the three-inch track in that same creek. Just a little further down, maybe less than 100 feet away from that same area.
Like you said, your conception that Bigfoot's won't hurt you. Well, there's been, like you said, there's been cases where they have, you know, mm-hmm. like anything else, you know.
And unprovoked at that, too.
Unprovoked, right. Just come on, get you.
Yeah. You know, I think like any other animal, if they feel threatened, if they feel, you know, maybe not even necessarily threatened, but maybe in their territory, you know, they can be territorial. If they're hungry, if you mess up their hunt, you make them mad, you know, they can be aggressive. But there's also instances where people are literally just going down for a hike on a known hiking trail where probably hundreds of thousands of people hike a year, you know, have gotten stuff thrown at them, gotten attacked for, you know, I think they're just like any other animal. They're just unpredictable. You know, you just got to treat them like anything else.
That's like the fae too. You know, I always thought the fae was like just these little cute little fairies, you know. But I did some more research on it, you know, and I had a few people on my show, and they're not really. I mean, like here we go back to Native Americans, American Indians again, you know. They were not. They were vicious little creatures that lived in trees that would attack you for whatever reason.
There's tons of stories of these fae just being flat out mean and just mean and horrible. You know, there's actually a lot more of those instances that actually happen than the nice little Tinkerbells, you know.
Right. It's like I was telling you about the story about that little baby Bigfoot. You know, that little hand came in the tent, and that's what's pulling the one camper out of the tent. So it was even though it was little, it was powerful. So it had enough strength to drag, and this is a big man, probably over 250 pounds. So he's trying to pull, he's pulling him out of the tent. That's when he was started kicking the little one, and the mother came to the rescue, you know. So it wasn't like he just came, you know, was they just stumbled upon it. I mean, it attacked them, you know. So,
yeah. And, you know, so like in that one particular area where my friend saw that 9.5 foot one, we found trees that were probably 10, 11 feet broken off, you know, at that point that were maybe, I don't know, 5-6 inches in diameter. Me and five other guys probably couldn't even bend the tree, let alone break it, you know. And then we found a tree branch over that road going into that area, maybe 100 feet from where he had his siding. And that tree branch was like 12 feet in the air, and it wasn't snapped. It was twisted like a dish rag. It was twisted, you know. And that branch also was maybe a good 4 or 5 inches in diameter. So right away when we showed the picture online, people were like, well, maybe a truck went down there, like a big 18-wheeler hit it or whatever. But I'm telling you, 18-wheeler couldn't fit down this road. I had a Chevy Colorado, and it was so narrow, the branches would scrape the side of my truck, you know. And there was no room for anything like that to turn around, much, much less my little truck, you know. I had to go down to and find a spot where I was able to turn around. There's 18-wheeler, and if 18-wheeler went down that road, why that one branch? Why not every single branch on the way in, you know?
Yeah, right.
And then it was in the middle of the summertime, so they couldn't blame it on ice, which we don't get ice down here anyway. Wind, why that one branch, you know? Why that one branch? If there was any kind of wind, heavy winds that day or whatever.
Like you're saying, you were measuring out one tree, like you said, about eight and a half feet, something like that.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with my buddy. They, when I say it was like, they said between eight, 9 feet, could be 10 foot, because they did. They measured that, the top branches that were broke off, exactly where this big one ran through. And that's where they came up with, one came up with 8 feet, the other one came up like 9 foot, I think. Either way, that's a huge, huge creature to go through that woods like that.
Yeah.
Standing up and running.
Yeah. And, you know, people are like, well, you know, why haven't they been seen more? And I'm going to tell you right now, at least here in Texas, and just from pictures that I've seen of other forested area, you could probably literally hide a T-Rex in there and nobody would ever see it, you know. This forest is dense, you know, super dense. Even in the wintertime when it's no leaves on the tree, it's just too dense to see anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, even in the wintertime, you probably see 50, 60 feet. You're lucky to see 100 feet, you know.
So what's your plans for this year? What you got anything planned to go see? Or?
I definitely, you know, man, like right now it's beautiful weather to be out there. You know, I think at this time of the year, I think they're moving around a lot more. I think it'd be a great time to be out there right now, but unfortunately I just can't do it right now. But in the summertime, I used to go out in the summertime all the time, but the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, I've gotten older, so that heat is a little bit rougher on me. So
yeah,
I try not to go out too much in the summertime. And plus, you know, you don't really get a lot of evidence in the summertime just because, you know, everything is trying to stay still, you know.
Now people would contact you.
Well, you can contact me at beyond.woodline@gmail.com, or you can go to the JRG Facebook page, the Jevning Research Group, you know, to contact me right there. Or just look my name up, Joe DeHoyos. So I'm on every platform. So I'm not hard to find, you know. People can find me, you know.
Yeah, I'll put your links up on this episode, and so people can contact you.
Yeah.
And, well, thank you for coming on the show. And,
yeah, I appreciate it very much. We need to do it again. You need to come on my show. I'll come back on your show. I've got tons. I don't say tons, but I've got a lot of paranormal experiences that I had, you know. So
I'm going to have you back on where we'll go outside the Bigfoot field for a little bit then.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thank you too, man. I appreciate it. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you very much, Joe DeHoyos. And please check out Joe's podcast, Beyond the Woodline. I'll put his links at the bottom of this episode. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghost in the Valley Podcast. 12-year-old Lee Spencer is in the back seat of his family's car as it's pulling up the driveway of the house they are moving into. Lee notices a young girl looking at him from the upstairs window. No one else in the car sees her. This is the beginning of a 4-year journey of Lee Spencer's unbelievable events that happened in and outside of that house. Spencer's Ghosts, available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, any place you get your books. Available in paperback and ebook.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.